You are listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Prepare to be enlightened, entertained, and moved to grow as you hear practical advice on building and enriching the experience of worship at your church. And now, Dr. Craig Gilbert.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast. Our podcast is here to help you with any and all aspects of church planning and development, but with a special emphasis on congregational worship. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Gilbert, founder and lead consultant of Purposed Heart Ministries, and I'm happy to be with you each week as we talk about important issues that so many churches must face each and every day. Please help us share this podcast in your favorite social media sites or by word of mouth. Your help is critical in helping us build and the listenership of this podcast, and we thank you for helping us spread the word. If you find help in this podcast, if you find things that are helpful to you and to your ministry, obviously we would love for you to share it with others so that they can take advantage of this as well. I apologize that I missed you last week. Had a busy week that kind of got away from me, and I missed my podcast deadline. And so I'm a little bit behind here as we continue in our podcast series, Fighting Fair, Biblical Leadership in a Contentious Culture. I am continually amazed by how contentious we can be. The fights that we have over church stuff and religious stuff and watching people fight over Kanye and fight over Joel Osteen and fight over this and fight over that. It's just amazing to me. And also the fighting that we do in our own churches, over worship, over, where to put a candle, over, what color the carpet should be. It's just amazing to me the things, you know, and then the biggies, you know, we do fight over the big stuff too. And so I was inspired to put together this podcast series on fighting fair, biblical leadership in a contentious culture, because I feel like we need, sometimes to go back to understanding what it means to fight fair. And to fight in a way, to argue or disagree in a way that is healthy and productive. Fighting is not always unproductive. Disagreeing is not always unproductive. It's how we treat one another that's unproductive. And so the last two podcasts, we talked about listening and we talked about building up without tearing down. And this week, I want to talk to you about agreeing to disagree. This seems to be an incredibly lost art that we no longer have in civil society, and especially on Facebook. It is amazing the number of times that I see people who are just unable to agree to disagree. They are steeped in their position. They are convinced that their position is correct, and as a result, they cannot even possibly hear any position but their own. Of course, the way social media is set up and even mainstream media is set up now, these algorithms set things up to where we all live in echo chambers and all we hear is what we think of other people echoing what we think. And so that's what they're calling an echo chamber. And what results is just a constant reinforcement of the opinion that you already have, with no one really challenging your opinion or challenging the facts that it may or may not be based on and those kinds of things. So agreeing to disagree is a thing that we used to do. Two people could have differences of opinion, but yet still get along and still function well together. This is becoming less and less common. I recently saw a meme on social media that was not particularly politically based on Republicans or Democrats, but what it showed was the number of times that it was based on number of issues. It was kind of a word cloud looking kind of thing. And it was based on the issues that were voted on in a particular congressional year and the number of times that Republicans and Democrats agreed versus the number of times that they disagreed The number of times that Republicans and Democrats disagreed with each other and voted along party lines, and the number of times that they would build a coalition across party lines and actually get some work done, even though you know, they may disagree on some of the other things. They agreed to disagree and come together and work. And it's amazing when you see it from the 70s to the 80s to the 90s to today, to the 10s to today. It is just, it's just a steady progression of polarization. No longer can we agree to disagree. We have to, at least in Congress, that we have to be only on our side and not on anybody else's. And unfortunately, I see this happening in the church as well, more and more often. Now, the church has always been kind of polarized based on age, based on worship style, based on denominational traditions, things like that. But more and more often, I see our churches arguing and fighting the exact same way that culture argues and fights. And that is without respect for each other, without the time to listen to what somebody else may say, without even an understanding that, hey, you know, if you listen, you might actually change your mind, or you might be able to articulate your position in a way that they'll change theirs. That's one of the things that we talked about last week, about building your argument up without tearing down someone else's. But agreeing to disagree is when we've had the discussion, and I'm based in my opinion, and you're based in your opinion. So now what do we do for the good of the church? Now what do we do for the good of other people, for the good of your band, for the good of your choir? Well, what we have to do is we have to find a way forward, even though perhaps we can't agree on the major parts of the decision. Can we agree on some of the minor things? Can we find some common ground where we can move forward and actually get some work done? It may not be the ideal, but it is certainly for one side or the other. But it is certainly better than not doing anything. Being able to find that middle common ground and trying to make something happen. I truly believe that this is the only way that God intended for us to argue with each other. You know, because otherwise ministry doesn't happen, or ministry only happens from one point of view, and one group of people is going to be in ministry and the other group of people is going to be sitting on the sidelines throwing rocks. I've seen so many ministries like this where there's actually a very vital and vibrant ministry in a church that's working really hard, but only half the church is working on it because the other half of the church thinks they should be doing it differently. And so they just sit on the sidelines. And rather than being part of the ministry that's successful, they'd rather sit on the sidelines and just throw rocks at it. I believe that our churches need to pray through these kinds of things. I think we need to talk through them. I think we need to understand that this is not a productive way to do ministry, and that finding a way to understand that we are all followers of Christ. We don't always see eye to eye, and I'll give you some good examples. I've been in some wonderful small towns that have ecumenical councils that are made up by the various pastors of the various churches, and these are usually a community action group. And all of the church pastors come together and they meet, you know, once a month. Some of them meet even as much as once a week for breakfast or lunch or something, and they talk about the needs of the community. And they work together as a church to, as churches, to make a difference in the community because they know they can get more done together than perhaps one church by itself can do with just its own resources. Now, these are women and men who do not necessarily agree on, say, the theology of baptism or the theology of the table or what happens when we die. In fact, many times these are these coalitions are made up not just of Christian churches, but of Jewish synagogues, of Muslim places of belief, Muslim mosques, and even some would call non-religious organizations will be part of this. And these groups get together and make a difference in their communities because they can agree to disagree. They can say, hey, this is not, I realize that what you preach on Sunday morning may not be what I preach on Sunday morning, but we both believe that we can make a difference in our community, so let's come together and make a difference in our community. If these church leaders were only concerned with who's right and who's wrong in their theology, then they would never get anything done, or they would be restricted to only doing things that their one church could do. Now, that's not to say that that's not how that happens in some places. I've seen plenty of communities where the churches cannot come together because their leaders cannot find a way to agree to disagree, and so they can only be in a combative mode and fail to minister together. And that's just really sad, and it's sad that happens in our local churches. I know that in my own experience as a music and worship director, I've had people have to leave the choir because they got crossways with someone else in the choir. I've had people leave because they got crossways with me, and they could not agree to disagree, and so and put ministry first. They had to put their opinion first, and so we were unable to be in ministry together. Now, I realize that there are times when perhaps we have to take a moral stand or we have to take a theological stand, and there is no common ground, or the disagreement is too large for us to be able to work through a common ground. And when those things happen, okay, they happen. And you have there are times when you have to stand on your principles, and you cannot find a way to agree to disagree. But I would say that those times are fewer and farther between than the realities of what I see in churches today, and what I see amongst people today. Especially in churches that are dealing with any type of separation issues. There are churches that divide over politics. There are churches that divide over theology. And I'm talking about local congregations, not just full denominations. Of course, there are denominations that have struggled with huge issues, social issues, moral issues, and have had to find their way. Some of them have decided to split and have over the years. And this is not just recently, although, of course, there are plenty of recent examples of this. I mean, this is this goes back to really the birth of, you know, the church as it was. Constantine, when Constantine founded the Christian church as a legal entity, he was breaking with, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of tradition. This is, you know, every time somebody makes a stand, it does happen that there are splits. But it doesn't mean that we cannot work together if we truly want to find that middle ground. So whenever you're faced with something like this, I realize I took a very large and broad view of this, and so I'm going to try to bring this down into your local group. I kind of mentioned your band or your choir. Let's talk about a band. Let's say that a band is struggling with, are we going to continue to play? Here's a real common thing that I see. Are we going to continue to play some of the older songs? Are we going to be just the new songs? What direction are we going to go? What songs should we sing? And the band can't come to an agreement, and the band really struggles. This is a place where a leader with clear vision can really step up and make a difference for a church. To be able to articulate your vision and to work with others to hopefully see your vision for where the church is going. And then what happens is there are people in your band who may or may not agree with you. Even if you've articulated your position and you've not articulated it in a way, it really doesn't matter. They have a different position. And so then band members are faced with deciding, well, I don't know if I can keep playing in this band. Or, I don't necessarily agree with you, but I will continue to play and minister because ministry is more important to me than what songs we're playing. But you as a leader also sometimes have to agree to disagree. There are times when your band is going to want to do something and they're pretty adamant and they're wanting to go forward, or your choir is pretty adamant and they want to go forward. And sometimes you have to step away as the leader and say, wait a minute now, how badly, just because I'm the leader, do I have to push my point of view? Is this one of those places where I need to agree to disagree and find common ground and let go of my position to some extent for the good of the ministry and for the good of the people who are serving in my ministry? This understanding and mutual respect for each other is just a key that we cannot undervalue and underemphasize. When we want to make a difference in leadership, agreeing to disagree is a very key leadership quality and leadership tool, and being able to manage that and manage it well is the only way that we can fight fair. If you want, you can go back and listen to the previous podcast. Listen first and build your argument, and then follow this agree to disagree. Next week, we're going to talk about being the example, how to be the example in a fight. And so that'll be the end of our Fighting Fair podcast series, and we'll start a new podcast series, which I'm really excited about, that's going to take us into Christmas, and it's called Worship Servant. I think you're going to, it's going to be about serving as a leader in the church. And I think you'll get a lot out of that podcast series. And then we'll begin the new year. Very excited about a new year. We're going to call it New Year, New Ministry, and talk about, the differences between, revision and resolution. I hope that you're looking forward to these, and I hope that these are really beneficial to you. I also want to talk to you, kind of give you a clue. On the week of the 26th, we are going to have a very special podcast. I'm going to give you a very special podcast that I'm calling Being the Baby. Very excited about this podcast, and I hope that you'll check in with us Christmas week for a very special Christmas message, a very special Christmas podcast. So until next week, when we talk about being the example, I wish you well. I wish you good ministry. I pray for you daily, and I hope that you are praying for me. And please continue to go to purposeheartministries.com. Look at what we're doing. We had a great workshop and leadership time last weekend, and I'll be leading worship at a church this weekend. So if you're looking for a guest worship leader, a guest pastor, please drop me a line. But until then, I'm praying for you, and I pray that God will continue to bless you. Talk to you, see you, hear from you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Want more from Craig? Be sure to join us online at purposedheartministries.com. We look forward to having you join us again next week.